count of three, name your favorite dinosaur. Don't even think about it. Just name it. Ready? One, two, three.
Velociraptor.
Favorite non-pornographic magazine to masturbate to?
Good Housekeeping.
If you were a chick, who's the one guy you would sleep with?
John Stamos. What?
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Do you want to go do karate in the garage?
Yep.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody. This is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Will Coons here, checking back in with you. What's up? What's good? You all right? Why am I yelling at you? Yes, good show this week. We're going to get right into it today. But the Homemade Broadcast, as always, is brought to you by Sly Bar. I went in the Sly Bar, saw Joe, Sly Bar Joe. And the place looks totally different. He's totally remodeled it. It looks fantastic. It's actually still in the process of being finished up, but I encourage you to go in and check it out. 2061 Central Avenue here in St. Petersburg, at facebook.com/SlyBarSt. Pete, slybar.com, all that info. Thank you, Joe, for supporting the program. And also Truvy Salon and Spa. Chrissy Parker down there does really good work, as far as I know. Now, I guess she could do terrible work, because I wouldn't really know. She did cut my hair one time, and I liked it. So I think she does, and I always see cool pictures on her Facebook. So I'm pretty sure she knows what she's doing and will give you a good haircut. 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Thank God Chrissy's my friend. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure she would have dropped me a long time ago. But no, she's sticking with it. She's all about it. So thank you, Chris. 8908 4th Street North. Call, make an appointment with her. 727-329-9751. And TruvySalonAndSpa.com is her website. This week on the program, we have Jen and Jen. They are two employees from the world-famous Bananas Music Shop here in St. Petersburg, celebrating their 40th year this year. One of the biggest and best in the country. They're in Rolling Stone magazine. I mean, it's a big deal. So we're going to be talking Record Store Day, the weirdos that collect vinyl, the people that are super into it, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So stay tuned right here on the Homemade Broadcast this week. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/HMB Radio and Radio St. Pete, respectively. Twitter, home_made_man. And Radio St. Pete on Twitter, respectively. Very good. Jen and Jen from Bananas Music on the Homemade Broadcast this week. Jen and Jen. No, that's not a fancy, hip name that people who work at record stores have. That's two individual people named Jen. One, Genevieve. One, Jennifer. They are clerks and managers at Bananas Record Store, the world famous. Yep, you can talk now.
It's world famous for sure. 40 years.
There's that scene in Elf, which I don't know if you're familiar with, but it's a movie with Will Ferrell, the Christmas film.
Yeah,
we know Elf.
Okay, so he goes in and he's unfamiliar with the world, right? So he's in New York City walking around, and there's this restaurant, and it says "World's Best Coffee" in it, and he goes in and says, "Wow, you did it. World's best coffee." I feel like this is similar because Bananas is the world's largest record store, but it's actually true, or there's some sort of...
It's never truly been contested, I guess. Like, at a point in time, there might be people with larger collections in the world, but we don't know about them too much. A few people will come by, and it's impossible to actually know how much vinyl we have. So, I mean, we were in Rolling Stones, I think... can't remember, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, maybe, as one of the top 25 record stores. But basically, we have two warehouses, and a lot of people seem underwhelmed when they come in. They're like, oh, or they're actually overwhelmed most of the time. But they don't realize that we have, it's a combination of vinyl from both locations. So we have the two-story warehouse on 16th Avenue, and then we have the one that we work at on 22nd Avenue, which has everything. But the one on 16th Avenue is two floors. It's like a vinyl library. So it's pretty amazing. People, once they go in there, they kind of get it. So there's stores that are bigger, like Amoeba. There's other places across the U.S. that are larger stores, like I guess square footage. But I think it's just the amount of volume of like, or a volume, whatever, of records. So.
Yeah, I was unfamiliar. I'm familiar with the 22nd Avenue North location. And it is like when you think world's biggest record store, it kind of seems like just a big shop.
Yeah.
But that includes the other locations, which I didn't even know existed.
Yes. Well, at one point in time, there was not the two locations. It was all one location. We split off for more because we needed more room. And obviously, they've been all over St. Petersburg in the 40 years they've been around. But yeah, it's. I think a lot of people don't realize that there's two different locations. So we send a lot of them over there, and they're pretty much like mind blown, like whenever they get over there. But
what was the original location? Is that?
Dang, I don't even know. Let's get the notes.
That's a tough one. But I know that the warehouse location is 20 years. At least.
That's the one on 16th Avenue North.
That's right. So that's 20 years. So they've been all over St. Pete for 40.
Yes. My memory goes back to high school. I graduated in 2000 and I knew John then, the owner's son, which is why I got the hookup for the job. But that was on Pasadena and they were there for a while. And I know that they were on 9th Avenue for a long time.
There was one on Central.
And then I think on 4th Street.
I remember
there's probably others that I don't know of, but
going into the one on Pasadena and it smelled like wet cardboard. And I said that because I can't like not say things that I think.
They kicked you out immediately, right?
No. I don't know who it was, but like, get used to it. And I'm like, all right, we're doing this. We're going to deal with the.
Okay.
We're going to do this. That's
there's a lot of smells. A lot of smells in the store.
It does kind of, you're right. It does kind of smell funky, and I guess probably because it's old cardboard and a lot of it. So it just permeates the room, but there's kind of a beauty to it, right? It's kind of like part of the
enigma. I don't really smell it anymore, but it's weird because, like, it's not that strong of an odor, but sometimes I'll go out with friends after work or something and they'll be like, oh, you smell like bananas. And I'm like, really? Like, what does that smell like? And they're like, I don't know, like a old, I guess, that cardboard and like stinky vinyls and blah.
Well, like, but that's good though, because like original vinyl was in cardboard sleeves. The new stuff is in like a thick paper. Like a construction paper almost, but thicker. Mm-hmm. So that's how you can tell like an original Miles Davis from like an 80s reissue, let's say. So it's a good smell and it's a good sign that we have things that are older and original and something that you'd be interested in, maybe.
Yeah. I have a couple records over there.
All right.
I still don't have a record player. My dad bought me one, but my dad is like me and he is cheap. So he bought a 6-in-1 system thing.
Yeah, those things are not good news.
No. And I kind of looked it up. I was like, this really wasn't what I was thinking. But yeah, thank you, Pop. And I looked it up and somebody put in the reviews, do not put your records on here. It will destroy them. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so. Anything that looks like super cool, like Crosley's, they have a plastic needle and everything sounds terrible. So just do yourself a favor. We have refurbished, turntables. We have new turntables. You can get a setup for like $120. It's easy to do and it sounds great. So don't buy Crosley's.
Yeah, it's actually worth the extra like whatever $40-$50 to even get like the starter Audio Technica we have, and spending $60-$70 on like a Crosley because they don't play the new vinyl a lot because they're heavier weight, they're higher quality. So we get returns all the time. We're like, what are you playing it on? And they'll tell us like either something like that, which obviously that's kind of system is like the big gift from the past like 10 years. I bought one for my parents back in the day before I knew any better. And actually I had one when I was a kid, I think. I had not one of the hole-in-one things, but like it was similar to a Crosley, but it was a little like portable one that you would plug in. Yeah.
Fisher Price model. I have one of those as well.
Yeah.
It's
pretty good.
It's probably just, like Fisher Price or something like that.
If there is a plastic arm or a plastic needle, don't buy it. I know it looks super cool because like Urban Outfitters, like the stuff looks amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't play well. Just don't do that thing.
I did not know they had plastic needles. I knew they had plastic arms, yeah, but I didn't know the needle.
Yeah, hence why it doesn't get into the deep grooves of the new 100
gram. I
thought
it was the weight of the arm.
I would say it's a combination of both.
That sounds right. If that's the cause
that's,
or whatever.
That's what I've been told.
Okay.
I always pictured that I would eventually find one in Goodwill, but that doesn't seem to be the case. I've been looking now for like 2 years.
Maybe 10
Still
years
haven't
ago.
Found one. Yeah. Now people probably snatch those things
I'm
up.
I'm sure.
As soon as
you have to
in.
Be like first in line at the door when they open.
Yeah.
A lot of people, though, get them from friends. It's like
our parents.
Like, oh, yeah. So yeah, my, parents. Yeah, uncle passed this down to me or whatever, so. And they're always better than what I have set up at home, so I get jealous.
My friend got her, she has a really nice one. It's super nice from the 90s, and her neighbor just gave it to her, and she, like, forced $20 into his hand. And it's, like, the nicest turntable outside of what we use at the store that I've seen. I'm like, you paid $20 for this?
Yeah, I've seen pictures of it, and I'm like, you got a really good deal. Like, can I meet your neighbor?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that was a 90s model. I'm surprised mm-hmm. they were even making them back then. That was like CDs were coming about, and I mean, tapes were popular before that.
They still
that.
Made some vinyl. Like, there were certain genres of music that never gave up on vinyl. Hip-hop is like the biggest one, of course.
Electronic.
Like, electronic. They would Reggae. Still spend vinyl out, like... Mm-hmm. That's something that's still huge. And we get people all the time looking for, like, electronic music because they're, like, electronic DJs, which is, like, the hardest thing to find. So we barely have any. I don't know.
Why? Why is it hard?
They get trashed,
I
number
think so.
One.
Oh, because everybody's scratching them.
Maybe,
yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that makes
Just
sense.
From, like, traveling around, playing so much.
Yeah, and they're always pricey. So whenever they do find it, it's, like, they're more expensive than the average records because it is so hard to find.
DJs don't even really scratch vinyl anymore, though. Everything's on the computer. Now, they all got their iPads, and they got these things like this, and then they just kind of turn the knobs. That's what I say.
Yeah,
now.
I don't understand those at all.
I don't either.
I don't
That's
either.
Just playing music. That's not even a DJ.
It's easy, I guess, though. I mean, if you're doing it as a professional, like, you probably want an easier system. I mean, I guess
that
I understand
sounds good.
It. But
yeah, because you never know what system you're going to get into.
Yeah. It's new school.
And instead of, like, damaging, like, your really expensive turntables... You just have, like, your book and your little CD things that you can scratch on.
Yeah, I mean, you can just bring your iPad, and mm-hmm. then you bring, you know, whatever
a
device they use
whatever.
And a couple speakers, and then you're good to go.
And
I don't
you
know.
Have, like, the whole world of music at your fingertips, too, instead of, like, what you have on vinyl.
Like, you can read the room and, like, change whatever.
I feel like that was part of the artistry of that, because it was already just playing music, but then you kind of got into scratching things, and it was kind of like a cool, you know, performance art thing, and now it's just kind of, I mean, I guess they still do stuff, but I have a feeling most of that, they're just acting like they're doing something. They're moving. Like
no,
they're...
there's actually vinyl you can buy. It's like, it is an actual record, but it tracks your, like, digital system. So they can spin it, and it will actually react to the digital music, but it's not damaging their records.
Yeah, they're scratching discs.
We don't have anything like that,
no,
but people have asked before.
That's probably something you'd find at, like, a music store. That's like an instrument, almost.
Yeah, or else, yeah, they probably do online sales. I'm sure maybe some of the stores have them, I don't know.
Yeah, but we don't deal in that.
Yeah.
We don't. We're definitely, like, the old school, like, thrift shop kind of, like, record store, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
When now I know vinyl's super popular. I mean, it's has this whole rejuvenation that's taken place. When did that kind of start? What was the beginnings of that? And how did Bananas, you know, make it through that time where people weren't buying music anymore? They were downloading stuff.
That's a really good question, actually, because a
Thank
lot
you,
of people
Jen.
Ask. Thank you, Will. I don't know. I think that Bananas has always been able to adapt and change, I think.
Yeah, and I guess, like, whenever I started working there, it was...
6 years ago.
Yeah, 2010, December. I think that's when I, like, started seeing – it was probably already there before me. I had friends that bought vinyl all the time, but, like, I saw the resurgence a little bit. And then, obviously, in the past, I would say, like, 4 years or so, it grew a lot. And now, recently, the past year, it's, like, you have kids coming in to buy vinyl and, like, I don't know. It's weird. Their parents – you would think that their parents would know, like, some of these people who are, like, got 10 years on me and stuff. And they don't even know. Like, they've never even, like, messed with vinyl before. But they're like, oh, my kid's really into this, so we have to teach them all. but I would say 5-6 years or something like that. But there were a lot of friends that I had that went to the two-story warehouse and stuff before that were into vinyl. So I think some people were into it. Some people probably never stopped buying vinyl, honestly. But I don't know, maybe 10 years.
Yeah.
So.
But also, like, a customer told me this, and I didn't even look it up, but I believe it. That last year, there's as much vinyl sold as was sold in 1986. And
it's
that's
crazy right
kind
now.
Of telling because, like, that was kind of, CDs were so expensive in the 80s. And cassettes were a little bit cheaper, but that didn't really hit until, like, the end of the 80s, early 90s. So that's kind of, like, the heyday of consumerism and buying, like, Wham and, like, all those pop
Jen
80s.
Loves Wham, by the way.
I love Wham. I love George Michael unapologetically. Freedom 90. But, like, seriously, like, that was kind of the big time to, I would say, probably. And they stopped making as much vinyl because CDs and cassettes were so much cheaper. And to make and to sell, you know, so it makes sense.
Was it too that CDs were better sound quality, or that's really not the case, right? I mean, vinyl is a better product than digital.
I think it's a preference, honestly.
Yeah.
I think some people like the warm sound of the vinyl and like they feel like nostalgic and stuff when they're playing it, but then some people like more crisp, like clean sounds, and it obviously digital eliminates a lot of the surface noise and background noise, but a lot of people actually do buy vinyl because they enjoy that. It makes it feel like a more real experience, I think, than like just popping in a CD.
Yeah, and also I think bands that were originally pressed for vinyl, like things in the 60s and 70s, the records were made to play on vinyl. So that's like the original way it was supposed to be listened to, and even to the early 80s. But if you're buying something today, it could be a digital transfer onto it. Not to say it doesn't sound good on vinyl, but there were certain things that were intended to be on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And things like nowadays, it can go in any format, you know, so it's like analog versus digital. And also, I think it's personal preference, really, when it comes down to it. Yeah.
People like hearing the actual bands recording the music instead of being messed with, I think. Like, the digital thing, they can actually eliminate things. Before, they couldn't do that. It's like you're recording, and you're in a studio, and you...
Did they not master tracks, though, when they were doing vinyl? Was it just what they played and that was it?
They remaster stuff now. So yeah. They're taking old music and making it sound new.
Like taking out the noise and
exactly.
Everything.
So
when did that kind of, do you know when that kind of started, where they started mixing and mastering vinyl?
Pink Floyd, I think they were using a Japanese company, like, in the mid-80s. Again, it's vinyl that's, like, remastered. So I think it was like a thing that like, cause Pink Floyd is so popular that they could do that. You know, they could send their stuff to Japan and have it master recorded.
And people would buy it multiple times.
And people would buy it three or four times.
Have the original copy and be like, oh, I want to remaster it every single time. They're willing to like spend their money.
Or picture disc or a different cover or a different label. People will buy it. It's like unequivocally, like they're going to buy, they're into it. There is a market.
Hmm. Yeah. Jen and Jen from the world famous Bananas Record Store. I was on the Homemade broadcast this week. What is the most valuable record that you've seen come through the store?
We just have this question at the very end of the night. We get it all the time.
Yeah.
That one's not so good. Dang.
Well, no, it's okay. No, it's so cool. It's good for, the regular people.
Yeah, yeah. Like, in our store, you won't really find a lot that's probably above $100. Our warehouse has the more valuable stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, any of the original, like, Beatles stuff, any original stuff that's in good condition is going to be worth a lot
of
money.
Like the meat cover.
Yeah, or the butcher, yeah.
Yeah, butcher. Like, well, meat, butcher,
there's different
you get
ones, too, like with stickers and stuff. So it depends on which issue you actually have.
The white albums can range from 20 bucks to 300.
Yeah. I think we just sold a record for, like, in the thousands the other day.
A jazz record.
It depends.
It was a jazz record, like an original jazz. Because they, like, Chet Baker, for instance, is totally coming back up. Nina Simone, Billie Holiday, Miles Davis, Coltrane. There's such a huge interest. Like,
this is a big jazz revival right now.
Huge. It was awesome.
With all the movies coming out.
Yeah.
And
La La Land, for instance.
And they did the Miles Davis movie and the Chet Baker movie.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't know.
So originals. Yeah, like originals. Like, we have an original Chet Baker sings for $80, 1952. And it's so beautiful and it sounds perfect. And you got to wonder, like, how do these things survive and sound that good?
I think
you know?
It's honestly the most durable, like, format. Because if you think of the stuff we even have, it's been around for 50 plus years. in people's like basements, garages. It's been transported attics. Everywhere. And yeah. people get scared about heat and stuff. But I mean, I think it's mostly if it's in direct sunlight, it'll warp your stuff. But I mean, vinyl's pretty durable. It stands the test of time.
Yeah, that's CDs what people don't. Put on their house. They put vinyl siding on their house.
Yeah, cassettes don't.
I know it's
CDs
a little
don't.
Different, but a little, know, but it's still, you know, you get my gist there.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying.
I mean, even if a record is warped, it'll still play if you have a good enough setup.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes.
Sometimes. For the most, I mean.
Yeah, we get warped records back all the time, and you can still play them on a good, like, turntable. Yeah, but it depends
which
on
I
it.
Have, so I don't.
Yeah,
mind.
Yeah. If it's too warped, you don't want to play it, though. It might, it'll mess up your turntable. Yeah.
So nothing too crazy, but like a baby warp. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So is there, did you say what the most valuable one that Bananas has?
I don't even know.
It was a jazz record for $1,500. It was a regular customer that at the warehouse that they deal with. And they put up things on Discogs all the time.
Like, I honestly don't. I doubt that that's the most valuable record, though. That's just what we just sold that we just put up there.
That's the most recent example.
I'm sure
we
that there
have.
Are records that are more valuable.
For
but,
sure. But that's the most recent example.
We probably should have been better prepared.
No, I was thinking like, but I think that's a lot of money to play for one record.
Oh, definitely. No doubt.
I mean,
no doubt. I was thinking like the Horace Wagner baseball card of vinyl.
Oh,
there's got to be something like that that's like
I'm sure there is.
It's got to be a Beatles.
It's probably a Beatles.
I don't know, though. Or it's like, going to be some weird thing that anything, like barely anyone knows. That's yeah. like there's only like five of them that were ever
made. I think Bitches Brew goes for like $400 if it's on the Six Eye label. You know, like if it's on like a first press. And they redid it a lot, you know, so it's like, if you have something on, and it's very label specific, covers, I mean, they're so, it's so detailed, and people don't miss a trick. I mean, they look at everything. Some guy even told us, like, oh, that's an A's reissue on the Billie Holiday record. I'm like, and I looked it up, and he was right.
They know. If they're coming in there for that specific thing, then they're going to know what they're looking for if they're going to drop that much money.
For sure. But Bitches Brew, what we had, which was like an early like repress, only because the label changed. What was it? $80? 90?
I don't know.
Anyway, it didn't last long in the store. And this is the retail location where just like the average kind of casual shopper, and everyone looks at it. And that's Miles Davis, by the way. That's a jazz record, and he was a wild man. He was.
I think most of those jazz dudes, they had that party life, you know?
You just don't think Stan gets
it's YOLO.
You don't think Stan gets of like being a party dude when he does like the girl from Infinita.
Probably
dude
was though.
Dude was getting down.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of makes sense because they got jazz as all this free form. Like, right. like it's
super,
a definitely cocaine type of music.
It's total nighttime too. It's like in the middle of the night. You don't play, like you're not going to like
that's
wake
true.
Up in the morning and be like, I mean, a lot of people do put on jazz, but like, the jazz
psychopaths
lifestyle.
Do.
It's a night. It's a nighttime thing. Also, like that lifestyle, you have to be classically trained and an artist, and that's so rare to be marketable. I mean, I couldn't imagine. You probably made nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know, like in your heyday. You know. Anyway, Coltrane died when he was 40. We're just chatting. Coltrane died when he was 40. Well, I mean, that's kind of
pretty, wow.
Isn't that kind of crazy?
Yeah,
though?
Yeah. That makes me kind of sad because that's like me in 8 years.
Yeah,
to be dead.
He did Love Supreme like he was like in his 30s.
Everyone was so like, young then. It's like your prime, and it's like football, but you're in music. It's the football music.
Yeah.
Was there? I would imagine in your profession, it's kind of a romantic type of profession because there's been movies made about it, like High Fidelity and stuff like that. Is what comes off the top of my head.
I don't know if I'd
head.
Say that all is romantic.
Pretty in Pink. There was a record store.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just, we both grew up in those movies, obviously. Yeah, like sure. We're the right age group, so we watched them when we were younger. But there's totally an element that is
super
true
fun.
To that.
There's a mystique to it.
It's true to it a lot, but I feel like it's changed a lot too. And our store is totally different than every other record store because I feel like we have the older clientele. And like if you talk about Daddy Cool, it's younger. It's
downtown.
Stuff, it's hip. Mm-hmm, obviously, mm-hmm. They have all kinds of other stuff going on besides just selling
they
music.
They have signings and listening parties and things like that.
And
because
then,
they're right across from State Theater,
like,
too.
We look at Planet Retro as kind of like punk, stuff like
hardcore,
that.
Hardcore.
Yeah. Like we're, we have, and plus we have like the old CDs. So we have classical. You can come there for that stuff. You can come for all old vocalists, jazz, ever, all that stuff. And I'm sure you can get a lot of that over there, too. But,
we have used.
I don't know. We have a huge quantity of it. So a lot of our clientele, we were talking about this earlier, like we were trying to like decide the ratio. Mm-hmm. I was like, what do you think? It's 50-50? I'm like, I don't know. I think it's more like 60-40. Like we definitely have an older clientele than the other stores do.
I think also because Best Buy just got rid of CDs. So they're sending people to us. So they're sending all matter of people.
Really?
Of all genres, yeah.
What are they sending? They just don't sell music at all now?
I don't know. Like, I just heard from a customer. Because there's one guy at Best Buy. I don't know who you are. But they always say, like, the guy from Best Buy told me to come here. And it's like, you know, 9 times out of 10, he's right. We've got it or we can get it. But I guess, like, they're slowly fading out of music.
Best Buy stinks. Anyways. I mean, I haven't been.
Walmart. They both, like, are only carrying, I think, like, top 40 stuff.
So. Yeah, yeah. I haven't been in a Best Buy in a long time on purpose.
Me neither.
Because it
I
just seems.
It's so expensive.
It's very, everything you can buy cheaper online.
Even like a cord is like expensive. Yeah, I'd still go there if I needed something, if I was desperate, obviously, but.
I went though, I needed a cord for something, they didn't have it. I'm like, what are you talking about? You don't have anything back there? And Radio Shacks don't exist anymore,
nope,
you can't
gone.
Get anything there either.
So
you gotta find it online.
Adios. Yeah.
You can do like B&H, but I don't even think they have B&H.
What is
I don't
that?
Even know what that is.
No.
It's like a video and camera store. I think it's called B&H. But yeah, you can't just go buy a cord. Like I'm at the mercy of even for this stuff. Like hope I get the right thing on Amazon because I don't know what I'm doing either.
But Amazon's so good with returns. You can be like, oh,
they are.
Okay. Just kidding.
You have to lie with Amazon is what I found. Because you can't say I ordered the wrong thing because then they make you pay for their shipping back. You have to be like,
you sent me the wrong thing.
You sent me the wrong thing.
Right.
And even they won't argue with you. They're just like, okay. But
they're
yeah,
a big enough corporation or like not even, I don't know what they are. Third-party seller, but they still have their warehouses and stuff.
It's
you call them a corporation?
Amazon's like a huge corporation.
Yeah, so they could actually afford to do that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. They're not going to give me guff. Like, I bought things for the, I don't even know what they're called, but the stuff that you put the burners in the stove, the cups.
Like,
I don't know what you call them.
I know the covers. Those are
coils?
Like the plates. I think
no,
plates,
not the coils.
Coils.
It's
underneath
a thing
the coils.
Like, with the coils.
Oh, yeah. Like,
cups.
A drip pan or something.
Yeah, a drip pan or like a plate. I think it might be legit.
And they didn't fit my stove, so I was like, oh, I want to return these. And then they were like, just keep them. We'll just refund you your money back.
It's not worth it. They don't cost enough to actually send back. So,
yeah.
Like,
and they fit it at my work's stove thing, so it worked out.
No
free lunch, baby!
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Who says there's no such thing?
There is.
There
Amazon.
Is on Amazon. You just gotta lie to them.
That's we sell on Amazon, too.
Yeah, you were saying, what was the Discog thing you were talking about?
Oh, yeah, we sell on Discogs and Amazon.
Is that like eBay for records?
It,
or music
yeah.
in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of harder to find stuff. Like, I'll just look things up on Discogs to see if the vinyl exists. Because people will ask for something, and I've never seen it, so I'm like, I'm not going to tell them it doesn't exist. I'm going to look it up on Discogs.
I think Discogs is the most user-friendly site for people looking for vinyl. Because,
so much
like,
info.
It will tell you, obviously, the different, like, every single release date, the country, everything you need to know.
Yeah.
So if someone wants to know if something's been released on vinyl, it should mostly be on Discogs. So I wouldn't say the eBay, because I think eBay is more, like, open and, like, bidding. And this isn't.
Yeah.
It's just, like, it's third party. It's like the Amazon of vinyl.
Yeah, and also,
with
like,
more information.
Because audiophiles are, like, super into every little detail, it definitely caters to the audiophile demographic. So it's got everything you can possibly think of, like the country, the format, and there's even a little marketplace too. But I think the marketplace to be secondary, really. I think it's the info is number one for me.
I've ordered off there multiple times.
I haven't yet.
It's addicting, for sure. I have friends that just now are getting into vinyl, and they're like, oh, Discogs. I told them about it, and they want to, like, punch me in the face. Like, no, it's all my money.
Because you can set up an account and list all your vinyl, so you know you can appraise what you have.
Yes,
and
you can,
like,
keep, like, a listing of, like, I mean, there's wants and haves on there, so how many people have this album of this issue from this country, how many people want it. You could see, like, the price going. It shows you the lowest price it's ever sold, the highest price it's ever sold, and an average. So I would advise anybody looking for anything, besides coming into your store, obviously.
Yeah, totally.
If
support
we can't
local.
Help you, yes, definitely support local first.
It's kind of like a cataclysm. You got the old and the new running into each other. You got the old music running into the new technologies.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny
I mean,
how that
just
works.
For an example, a customer came in. He's like, would you have a 6LP?
And you were like, get bent, loser. And he's like, all right, goodbye.
Hit the bricks. No.
Kick rocks.
He was like, it's a 6LP box set of Depeche Mode remixes. It came out in, like, the 90s. I'm like, whoa, that's something we're probably not going to have.
But Jen was, like, but extremely intrigued.
So, because he was like, it sounds so good, like, all these remixes. I'm like, ooh. So I was so intrigued. I looked it up, and I told him, like, hey, for $238, you can order it off Discogs.
Which, like, the last customer of the day also bought Depeche Mode. So we're going to be out of Depeche Mode in, like, a day. It's like
Duran Duran's gone.
Mm. Well, Depeche Mode, I think it's because they're new
they're coming.
Tour and stuff like that. Like,
Tears for Fears
is coming. That's pretty much what everyone's looking for right now.
Yeah. Jen and Jen from Bananas Record Store and the Homemade Broadcast this week. So I would imagine you have to have an appreciation for music to do your job.
Yeah.
But have you found yourself, like, what's been one thing, because you probably listen to music all day, like a genre that you couldn't stand that now you like and you're into?
Jazz.
Okay. Yeah, well, I actually took a course. So I started there when I was at USF for a second job, because I've known the owners pretty much most of my life. And they had just opened up the new location, and so I went in there, and, I mean, I thought I knew a lot, but I do nothing. Like, seriously, nothing.
You
Not
learn
even
fast.
A baby percentage of music.
Yeah.
So I realized, like, the jazz musicians that everyone knows of, like Coltrane, Davis, like, all that stuff, but I'm like, I didn't know so much about, like, even Cab Calloway, early jazz, stuff like that. Like, so I actually went to school. I took two courses just to learn because I was so interested. So I took a jazz course from USF, and then I took a history of rock and roll in the same, like, they were electives. So I was already done with everything I needed to do. So I took those as electives, and it was super interesting to, like, learn about everything. And I still, like, even after taking a course on it and going through, like, all the popular musicians of every single decade, I still don't know half the stuff, like, people come in. And plus, I'm in the room all day long, and, like, people are asking me for 6 years, 7 years, whatever, about these musicians, and, like, they stump me every single day. So it's like, no matter how long you've worked there, you still don't know a lot. And
you
I know
you can't
a lot.
Know it all.
You know a lot.
You know a lot, but you can't know it all.
But
it's impossible.
I can't. Like, we have people every day, and I'm like, what kind of music is that? Most of the time, it's new stuff. It's like, oh, yeah. I'm like, all right.
We're a little out of touch.
They'll say it's old, but it's really from 2014.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, that's not old to us. Do you see where you're at right now?
Yeah.
Like, look around you.
But for me, I think, like, I never listen to jazz ever. I knew Nina Simone because she was like, her voice is very distinctive, and Billie Holiday, but I never knew like how good it could sound. And I'm like in love with Chet Baker right now and Coltrane. And I never thought that I would say that because I'm a punk rock emo, you know, girl. So it's like to be into jazz too. I'm like, am I old? I don't know, but it sounds so good.
Now, do you find yourself getting off of those old bands that you liked so much? Or you're like, I don't like that.
Yeah, she's still into all those emo bands. Yeah, because, like, we're not friends anymore.
Listen, like, I'll put on put on some brand new.
We both like Alkaline Trio.
Alkaline Trio.
There's some emo that doesn't seem so cheesy. It's still kind of
That holds up.
There's still a lot that doesn't.
That's true.
Saves
the day.
I feel like I read something that most of the stuff you listen to, even though you might find some new stuff, you pretty much find in, like, your late teens, early 20s, and you kind of always go back to the well. That's where you kind of...
I have not been.
Really?
Yep. I think that I'm going back to, like, my early childhood. So, like, I was born...
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, like, 82. We grew up, though. My mom had those, the tapes, the Cruisin' Classics. I don't know. You might have not been around for them. Jen, you were definitely around for them, but like they're tapes of all the classic songs and stuff.
I don't know
sold them like every single gas station. Everyone usually knows when I talk about them, but it's like when I was young, it was like the Supremes, all that stuff.
Yeah, you love girl groups, Patsy Cline.
Yeah, but then again, I also love Madonna, and like every once in a while, it's nice to throw some of that on. But I'm not like so into her so much. But like, I would say my high school, the '90s, overall, the stuff that I listened to when I was in, like, at that age, I don't want to ever hear again.
Really?
But, yeah, like...
I wonder if that's because you work in a record store and you're exposed to new things all the time.
Maybe. I mean, and maybe in 20 years it'll be different. Like, when we're older, I mean, I'll be like, oh, I want to hear all those dirty, like, dirt rocker bands that I used to listen to.
Like, if I never hear Pearl Jam again, I'll be okay.
Really?
Pearl Jam isn't so bad.
I didn't like Pearl Jam until a couple years ago.
Interesting.
And now I like Pearl Jam.
I
hate it. Yeah. Bear. I hated that. Oh,
that's
my
so
God.
So soothing.
Oh. And I had a friend of mine who was really into him, so he'd play them all the time. And eventually started to warm up to him, and I like him now.
Maybe it's because we have the exposure. You're right. It could be because, like, there's so much and, like, learning so much. It's like I want to go back further and find stuff I don't know.
Yeah.
Really, really into, like, the I don't know, a time period before me, I guess. I always thought the 70s was like a trash decade.
Yeah,
when I was little.
Except for now,
like getting older, like being exposed to stuff, I'm like, wow, the 70s were like really cool and experimental. It's not about disco. I couldn't stand disco.
Roxy music.
I think my mom played that junk for me all the time when I was like little, and it was on the radio constantly, like, cause it trickled over, obviously, into most of the 80s. But, so I thought of the 70s as being like disco and like folk rock. Singing people about jumping off bridges and stuff like that.
Ew.
But like, no, the 70s actually, it was really, really rad, and it's one of the most
it's so diverse.
Yeah, it is. It was extremely diverse. So,
but I still love the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, me too, though.
Billy
Corbin. He's from St. Pete, isn't he?
Well, he lived in St. Pete.
I couldn't think of his name. I was going to say Willie. I was going to say Willie Corbin.
I don't know who Billy Corbin is.
he is, I think he lived here for like a year, but like he's like a Trump supporter. And his.
Billy Corbin is?
And he had like Billy Corbin is.
What?
Cordon Bleu.
That's
and
bizarre.
He had like a baby with like a 22 year old. So I'm not really sure like how to feel about him,
that's
but
funny.
Like, damn, there's so many good songs.
I actually get him like on Facebook at night and stuff and trolling.
I think you told me that.
But no, like I just saw like I follow like Smashing Pumpkins and stuff. For some reason, Billy Corgan was on like on a train last night looking all like pissed off and
wait,
stuff.
Wait, is it Corgan?
Like, yes.
Corgan.
It's not Corbin.
No. Hmm. But that's
all cool. New today.
I think is it Corbin Bernstein?
Corbin Bernstein. Who is that? I know his name,
dad.
But I don't know his face.
That's Jen knows all the peeps, all the famous
who
peeps.
Who died of heroin? Who almost died?
Corbin
from heroin.
Bernstein.
Corbin Bernstein.
Right?
Jimmy Chamberlain.
Hold on,
from...
I gotta look up what you guys go ahead and talk. Oh, keep doing what you're doing.
Yeah, how much time do we have left?
Few more minutes. Why you want to go now?
Should we
be talking about time right now?
Should we be talking about
Well, let's talk about you do have. Well, here's what I want to ask before we do that. We'll do that to wrap up. But a lot of people. Do you see? First of all, two questions. Double parter.
Hit it.
Do you see any slowdown to the vinyl craze that's going on now?
Nope.
No.
Hold on. Let me get part two.
Nope.
Part two. If there's people who are interested in getting into vinyl, what should they do?
That's a loaded question.
Yeah, what do you mean?
It depends on what you like. It depends.
I think that you should buy...
It's intimidating. Like, I was thinking about it, like,
People should be more intimidated by us.
I don't think
That's
so.
That's what I was thinking.
No.
Because they are too easy with the BS. I can't even deal with
well,
it.
Well, she's talking about we have different calibers of
we have different calibers.
But the younger generation, when they come
who
in,
I love.
And they're, like, interested...
I love, yes.
We both feel good, and we're like, okay,
I love helping
we'll
young
help
kids.
Them, like,
yeah.
buy a turntable. First of all, don't go to Urban Outfitters or, like, Target and get a turntable.
Never, or whatever. Don't do that.
You have a small percentage, like, a small chance that it's actually going to play all your new vinyl, because they want to listen to new vinyl. They usually don't have an issue playing older vinyl.
Because it's very thin and
yes,
flimsy.
It's lightweight, and the tray is not built for that.
It was reused vinyl at a certain point.
The tray
and
arm.
Crisis.
Sorry. But, like, if they want to...
That's a lot of data. Sorry.
If they're interested, I would say go to one of your local record stores. Like, obviously, all of us, we all know. I'm pretty sure Daddy Cool and Planet Retro will have turntables, too. Whatever, like, floats your boat.
Yeah.
Go, and, like, everyone's going to be... We're definitely willing to help you find a turntable and stuff like that. And we can get one that's inexpensive for you. So, I mean, you have to be willing to drop $100 at least, like probably $150.
That's reasonable, though. I mean,
would say
really.
$150.
So. Yeah.
For, like, a beginner, good turntable, and then maybe
some
speakers or something like that, yeah.
But I think, like, also you define your niche. Like, if you're super into Daddy Cool, then you should totally support Daddy Cool. If you're super into, like, hardcore and punk, you should go to Planet Retro, you know?
Yeah, I think that we all support
each other. If you're like, we have a very broad, if you're kind of more eclectic, then you should come into our store. I think wherever you feel the vibe, you should go in and support.
And I think that they'll 100%. Send you to other places too. So if
for
you're looking
sure.
for a certain artist and like one of these stores might not have it, we always would like say to go to one of the other stores.
Yeah, there's a
lot of people that come in and they're looking for more stuff that we don't have that we know that's one of the downtown stores are going to have definitely way more of. So I think definitely the community thing is important and to like love each other and stuff like that.
But don't buy just crap off Amazon.
Exactly.
You're supposed to browse. That's the whole culture.
Yeah, I think that our store is very good
digging.
at
the crate the budget culture. Stuff.
So yeah. It's like we have a budget room in the back, and today was our 50 cent Wednesday day. Every Wednesday we do a 50 cent off of, or 50 cents for every mm-hmm. dollar item that we have. So we have a whole back room of like budget stuff. There's like $2.99 records and 50 cent records on Wednesdays. They're a dollar every other day.
45.
So I mean, I think it's kind of cool if you're beginning, maybe to go dig and just like even experiment, like find a cover you think is cool or like whatever. I mean, you're not wasting that much money on it, but I definitely bought a ton of stuff that I thought was cool. Like I bought a lot of Indian music and like, I don't know.
That stuff is really cool though.
Like Spanish guitar or whatever.
That stuff's hard to find too now.
Yeah, but it's like definitely a budget kind of item, but it's something you'd be happy with.
Belly dancing.
Yeah. And then buy a few of your favorite pieces or like things you're looking for. I think a lot of people come into stores and they're looking for something specific, and obviously
not the way to go.
Well, obviously, if you're looking for something, you'll want to go everywhere and search for it. But I think that you should also keep in mind that sometimes, like browsing, you don't even think about like the stuff you want to get, or like you'll find something neat or whatever. And we have listening stations to listen to it.
Synchronicity.
Yes. So you should have a nice balance of both. If you're getting into vinyl, you should definitely go get your favorites. Definitely get a nice turntable system. It doesn't have to be super nice. Get a good turntable, though.
Some cleaner if you're going to get used records.
Yeah, and then maybe go browse, you know?
And don't be intimidated.
Don't be intimidated.
Even though I think people should be. But I'm really cool to young kids. Anyone who's cool and appreciates my sassiness.
She's sassy.
I am. I'll give it to you straight. I'll tell you if I don't like your record.
I think that everyone knows that pretty much. If you know.
But I think they like it. One guy came in. He's like,
sassy lady.
He came in just because like he knows I'm going to give it to him each time. And I'm like, thank you.
For punishment. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he's like, my favorite coffee barista's gone. He was just listing off all of his favorite people he likes to deal with. Like, but you're still here. I'm like, that's right, buddy.
I'll always be here for you. Yeah. So you don't think there's going to be any slowdown? Because I called, well, I don't think it was that big of a leap.
Oh, God.
But I did call that these bands around here, you know, local bands, were going to start releasing on tapes.
Oh, yeah.
Nailed that one.
Okay,
I don't think that was
easy.
Too much of a leap.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
no, that's a
still
easy format.
Nailed it.
Cassette tapes have been making a comeback. That's true.
There's a lot of bands that only put their stuff on cassette because it's like, that's an easy format. It's cheap. Yeah, it's definitely, it's inexpensive. You could even pass it out. It's something that you don't mind giving away, but like.
It's so cheap.
Yeah. So that's been around for a minute. Yeah. But I do think that you're right. The cassettes have been becoming more popular.
But they're not as stable.
Yeah.
They can get like all
sun damaged and yeah.
Yeah, they gotta treat them well. Yeah, definitely. You don't want to like throw like.
Well, you know, a customer, Eric Simcox, who I love, he gave
you
me a whole box.
A...
I just name dropped. I love him. He gave me a whole box of like some, just from talking to him for the past like 2.5 years, like he gave me all the cassettes of things I've ever mentioned. Cause you don't know this. Like I used to talk to him before.
No,
I know.
He came in and I saw him and he's like, hey, is Jen here? Cause I brought her a present. I'm like, what is
he
it?
He brought me a bunch of cassette tapes. He's like, I know you're talking about The Hurting, but here's The Hurting by Tears for Fears on cassette. I'm like,
yeah, I gave her the record the week before.
She
You're
did,
welcome.
And if it comes in again, I will buy it, and I'll give you your old one back.
No, it's all right.
Okay.
It's a gift. It's a gift.
But if it comes in again, it's totally yours. And I also bought you Ceremony
for my birthday,
and I loved it,
yes.
But I gave it to you.
So there's no, you don't see any end to this. You see this going on, you know, I'm sure it's not going to be indefinite.
I can't see past the summer, man.
Yeah, I hope so. Like,
at least till the summer, though.
At least till the summer. It's going to be a while. Because
The kids are like 11 and 12.
And they're just getting into
Christmas.
It. So they're going to be growing up, and like, they've already been doing digital. Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me because I have a Spotify account that I pay like monthly
me
for.
Me too.
But it's like, there's still things that you want to own. It's that weird humanistic, like quality.
Like Chain of Flowers on clear vinyl.
I just listen on YouTube to stuff. That's pretty much how I consume
music. That's what I did in Spain.
But the
bad thing is about it is like I have a list of songs that I bookmark and I have it on my songs thing and then all of a sudden
commercial.
I delete it.
Or a commercial.
Like, I got the ad block on my phone.
Okay.
Well, sometimes the video gets
copyright.
Deleted for copyright or something and I'm like, damn, I wonder what that was.
There has to be something you actually want to own though. Like
I think I have a few Bright Eyes CDs that I stashed away.
We do have Connor Oberst, Bright Eyes, yeah.
Yeah, well, I am going to eventually, you know, bite the bullet and buy one of your record players and get into it.
Can you please?
You know what Tim Kuntz is bringing me?
What?
He's moving back to the Go.
Wait a minute. What's the go?
Tim Koontz is my father.
I know that, but
the
go
is Largo.
Oh, geez.
He just bought a house. So he says,
big
hey,
time.
He sent me a picture. He says, do you want my old vinyls? And
yes.
I said, and he's got three boxes.
It's just
like,
vinyl.
Big things. It's just vinyl, that's it.
Yeah, the plural of vinyl is vinyl.
So I said, okay.
Just don't say vinyl, you sound like a yokel.
I didn't
see, this
say
is
that.
What I'm saying. This is what I'm talking about, going and being intimidated.
Like lifts. Sometimes if a customer's being like really nasty to me and they say vinyls, I'm like, it's vinyl.
Yeah,
not
you have
vinyls.
A sign in front of the register too, but, and
I can't abide.
I'm inexperienced.
But if you're like cool and sweet, I won't correct you until like I check you out. I'm like, it's
we've
vinyl.
Gotten in arguments before with like some people from the younger generation trying to tell us that we are incorrect, but I'm like, it doesn't seem natural. I've never heard that in my life. Like,
you just gotta tell them to kick rocks.
Yeah. Well, pretty much.
So listen, in the last few minutes, so I want you guys to come take a look and see what I have.
Okay.
And if anything's worth money,
sweet.
Let's sell that.
We'll steal it.
And then not tell
Good
Timmy
luck.
About it. And then I'm going to keep the money, and then the rest I'll just keep for my own thing.
Sounds good.
And then maybe buy a record player. So
good, yeah.
I know you got a lot of events coming up at Bananas Record Store Day,
all
that good stuff.
Okay, so obviously number one for all the record stores is Record Store Day.
You should go to all of them.
Every other year it has been the third Saturday of April, but for this year it is the fourth because I think it's Easter.
Weird. I don't know. It's weird.
No, it's like it's a holiday or
oh,
something that
okay.
people actually celebrate sometimes.
Oh, Easter.
So anyways, it's going to be April 22nd. I believe 100%, 100 minus 10, maybe 90%, 95%.
About 95%.
Positive that we're going to be open an hour early. So it'll be like 9 to 7. We're normally 10 to 7. We have some bands playing. We have Reality Asylum.
So good.
Yeah, they're amazing. They
so
actually
good.
Played last year, but they're so good we wanted them back again
yes.
this year. Zero Babies played last year too, and they're awesome, and they will be back again.
I don't know them.
This year. They have like creative loafing ties and stuff, so they're really, really cool.
Never mind, cool.
Jackrabbit I have yet to hear. I saw that they have an event coming up soon, but
Are
I didn't
they
write
the
it
jazz
down.
Fusion?
No, I don't
no.
know.
We're not
I
getting
don't
the
know.
Jazz
I think that they might be playing soon, like somewhere downtown, though.
Anyway.
But also, I think Adam.
Any hoozy.
This guy, Adam Sedman from Jackrabbit will also be there, and he does like a screen printing of shirts.
Okay.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He's there every year for us,
and
they're
the
awesome.
Shirts are so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. In
quality.
He has all kinds of different things you can pick
colors,
from.
Sizes. Yeah.
I think there might be like one or two different like Record Store Day ones that he's going to use, but then
Yay.
Also a ton of other stuff, and he's in that band. And then we have our in-house band that plays all the time for us, the Vultures.
Woo!
And they're like a surf rock kind of like group.
They're and they're
really,
great
really
customers,
rad.
Too.
They're great customers. They have their whole family comes in and like they hula hoop in front of the stage. It's like a party, pretty much.
Yeah, they're sweet.
We will have beer. So
21 and up.
Incentive.
Don't get cray.
Yeah, don't try to come in and buy that stuff. If you're not
illegally,
are you just giving it away,
else?
Or you got to buy the beer?
Well, we
tip.
We've
okay,
always.
That's fair.
You don't have to. We
I always
appreciate
did.
It.
Oh man,
I
tipped.
Mean, you should. Yeah, it's
you should
know.
Tip.
But
yeah.
Yes, we've had beer since I've been there, every single one, and this year we're doing it again. So the beer, we have a keg from Coppertail, and then Bill Kiefel, he's like a home brewer here that's getting a lot of recognition. He's brewing like two different ones for us.
Oh,
so
nice.
So we're gonna have that. It's just. Yeah, it's definitely cool. Free. So to customers that are cool.
Right on.
We can definitely deny you. If
yeah,
you're not
like
cool.
if you're acting like a butthole.
Yeah.
Then forget it.
And then the only other thing, so yeah, again, that's April 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing we have coming up after that is our 40th anniversary party, which is July 8th. It's another Saturday. And I believe it's also Doug's birthday.
It is. So we're going to do a discount on used merchandise.
Yes, there'll be discounts in the store. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a lot of other stuff too, but we're still putting that one together.
We have time.
Yeah, we do have a little
bit
of time.
But stay tuned.
But possibly free beer. We don't
I'm
know
hoping.
Yet about everything else, but I'm sure that it's going to be a big party, and that's going to be July 8th. Then
and also
should
the
pop-up shop.
You should. Last month we did a pop-up shop.
Last week, yeah.
Okay, it was last week. Sorry, what day is
Boy,
it?
Boy, time really runs together.
Hold on. What day is it?
Last Thursday. Well, yeah, it's
Jen,
Wednesday,
it's December.
Oh god.
It's December 2016.
All of a sudden I'm Rip Van Winkle and my nails are super long. No, we did a pop-up shop with Coppertail, Indie Market, Pizza Box, and Daddy Cool. And it was super fun. And there was lots of people drinking beer and eating pizza and buying records. And
yeah, we did pretty well at that. We did really well. I believe that we're going to do that again. But
I think it's the first Saturday.
Yeah.
That's what we're going for.
The extreme dates, though.
Well, don't, write it down in ink.
This is a good time for you to tell
them. Pencil it in.
Pencil it in.
Tell them about your social media where they can actually keep track of that.
Yes. Oh, hi. Perfect. Hi. I've been talking this whole time. But I've just been commenting. So Bananas Music, Instagram. You want to like us on Facebook at Bananas Music. You want to go in there because, number one, it's super cool in there. There are so many different rooms and aisles. You can do some yoga, do some crazy things, put a cover over your face. Tag yourself. We love that stuff, you know, so get in there. If you want to decorate your bathroom in 45s like some other customer did, that's rad. Like, tag us, show us. We love that stuff. We have photographers coming in there all the time, so why don't you, as a really super cool person, take pictures of yourself doing something cool?
Yes, definitely follow us on Instagram so we can get some free food.
And free food, always.
For us.
How does that happen?
Bring us cupcakes.
No. Jen,
just donuts.
We get free food. I have a contest.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to bring that up.
For us.
We have a contest just between me and Genevieve. Like, no one else knows this. But if I get 1,000 followers by Record Store Day, we get a pizza party. We have not told the owners or anyone.
We kind of just started. Yeah, it's going to happen. But we kind of just now started, boosting our Instagram and stuff like that.
Like,
so.
When I started, for Black Friday, we had, 600 and something.
Yeah. So we haven't had a huge social media presence. Not like we would like. But Jen is definitely on top of that.
I'm on the gram.
She's doing a really
good
job.
I'm on it hard.
So if she can get some.
Hashtag and left
keeps
right.
liking us.
All right. We got to go. Thank you much for coming in. Sorry. I don't mean. We only have so much time here.
Yeah.
So follow Bananas. Follow the Homemade Broadcast. Thank you all very much for coming in. I'll see you on Record Store Day.
Bye.
See ya. Thanks.
This has been the Homemade Broadcast. Thank you very much for tuning in. Thank you to Jen and Jen from Bananas Music. Make sure you go in, check them out, follow them on social media. Follow me, Homemade Man, home_made_man on Twitter. Follow Radio St. Pete, Radio STPETE on Twitter, and HMB Radio on Facebook, Radio St. Pete on Facebook. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Go listen to some vinyl. Go listen to some music. Will Koontz, HMB Radio, Radio St. Pete. See you next week.